sa eva kodhanam lakshmya. Niketam sita govrisham. Sharayan anugan kopan. Pradhanad venur adhiramat. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who is the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As he grew to 6 and 7 years old, the Lord was given charge of looking after the cows and bulls in the grazing grounds. He was the son of a well-to-do landholder who owned hundreds and thousands of cows. And according to Vedic economics, one is considered to be a rich man by the strength of his store of grains and cows. With only these two things, cows and grain, humanity can solve its eating problem. Human society needs only sufficient grain and sufficient cows to solve its economic problems. All other things but these two are artificial necessities created by man to kill his valuable life at the human level and waste his time in things which are not needed. Lord Krishna, as the teacher of human society, personally showed by his acts that the mercantile community, or the Vaishyas, should herd cows and bulls and thus give protection to the valuable animals. According to Smriti regulation, the cow is the mother and the bull the father of the human being. The cow is the mother because just as one sucks the breast of one's mother, human society takes cow's milk. Similarly, the bull is the father of human society because the father earns for the children just as the bull tills the ground to produce food grains. Human society will kill its spirit of life by killing the father and the mother. It is mentioned herein that the beautiful cows and bulls were of various checkered colors, red, black, green, yellow, ash, etc. And because of their colors and healthy, smiling features, the atmosphere was enlivening. Over and above all, the Lord used to play his celebrated flute. The sound vibrated by his flute would give his friends such transcendental pleasure that they would forget all the talks of Brahmananda, which is so praised by the impersonalists. These cowherd boys, as will be explained by Shukadev Goswami, were living entities who had accumulated heaps of pious acts and were thus enjoying with the Lord in person and were hearing his transcendental flute. The Brahma Samhita confirms the Lord's blowing his transcendental flute. Venum pananta madavinda dalaya taksham parhavatam samasitam buddha sundarangam kandarpakoti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Ramaji said, "I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord who plays on his transcendental flute. His eyes are like lotus flowers. He is decorated with peacock plumes, and his bodily color resembles a fresh black cloud, although his bodily features are more beautiful than millions of cupids. These are the special features of the Lord." The great devotee Uddhava is continuing his remembrance of Lord Krishna's most attractive pastimes, which he performed in Vrindavan Dham. In previous verse, he explains how Krishna appeared within this world in a most wonderful way, and how he performed his beautiful childhood pastimes and charmed all of the residents of Vrindavan, especially in his Bal Leela. He reciprocated Vatsalya Ras, or parental affection, with his devotees, the elderly gopas and gopis, Nanda, Yashoda. In fact, each of the gopas and gopis who were of the elderly age considered Krishna to be their own child. Krishna, although he was in the literal sense considered to be the baby of Nanda and Yashoda, because everyone possessed such unlimited love for him, and Krishna reciprocated in such a way by showing such love and beauty to them, everyone considered that Krishna may be the son of Nanda Yashoda, but he is also mine. Because the experience of devotion is the presence of the Lord within our hearts. When we love Krishna dearly, we actually have Krishna. Just like Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would often say about his dear devotees, like Vasudev Dat, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Srivas Thakur, he would say, "I am purchased by you. I am the property of Vasudev Dat. He owns me, and he can sell me anywhere he wants." In other words, by love, Krishna is purchased. Krishna becomes our own. Pundarik Vidyanidhi, because of his love, Lord Chaitanya named him Premanidhi, which means one who has the ultimate fortune of love of God. To have love of God means to have God. And there is no greater wealth than that, because Krishna is the source of all opulences. He is Bhagavan, the source of all wealth, all knowledge, all strength, all beauty, all fame, all renunciation. People are mad to get one little particle of these opulences within the world. People are in so much anxiety when they do not have. But Krishna is the proprietor of all. In fact, all the opulences of this world are emanating from him. They are all contained in him. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Krishna is the absolute truth. He is perfect and complete. And everything that exists is emanating from him who is perfect and complete. If you have Krishna, you have everything. What is the need of anything else? And Krishna gives himself to his devotee who worships him with love. So each of the older gopas and gopis, although they had their own children and their own homes, because of their love for Krishna, they all considered Krishna is mine. This is called Vatsalya Ras, parental affection. And the cowherd boys, the friends of Krishna, they love Krishna so much that each cowherd boy was thinking, Krishna is mine. I have Krishna. Krishna is in my heart. And each gopi, she is thinking like this also. Although Krishna is exchanging the most intimate loving affairs with Srimati Radharani, still, Krishna is mine. He is in my heart. He is all I have. He is all I know. So, when Krishna was this little baby child, his greatest pastime was simply attracting everyone's hearts to love him as their own child. The gopis, they would just see him and their hearts would melt. They would pick up his body and put it on their heads and rub him on their eyes and embrace him. Everything and anything. They just couldn't get enough of Krishna. Krishna is mine. But in spiritual life, this is completely different than the conception of possessiveness in this material world. In this material world, when you think something is yours, you think it is only mine and it is for my enjoyment. In other words, it is exclusively for the purpose of my own exploitation. But in spiritual life, no one cares anything for enjoying Krishna. Everyone simply wants to please Krishna, to make Krishna happy, to engage in serving Krishna. Therefore, possession of Krishna means the possession of within the heart by which we have no other desire than to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. Then Krishna becomes our property and we become Krishna's property. That is the perfection of life. That is real love. Real love in this world, in its conception of idealistic relationship, is when two people love each other so much that they are controlled by the love of the other. And the competition is who could be controlled more by the love of the other, rather than who could control the other. In the spiritual sense, this is in its ultimate perfection with Krishna. That to the degree we give ourselves wholesale for the pleasure of Krishna, for the service of Krishna, to that degree Krishna gives himself wholesale for the pleasure of his devotee. So when Krishna reached the age of 6 or 7 years, he was given charge of cows and bulls in the grazing grounds of Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada explains how Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. And when Krishna was only about 6 or 7 years old, he was given charge of all 900,000 cows. And just after the sunrise in the morning, he would go out to herd his cows. And just when the sun was setting, he would bring them all back to the village of Nandagram in Vrindavan. And it is described here how Krishna established this example by making his occupation the caring for cows and bulls. And Srila Prabhupada explains so nicely and so often the importance of protecting the cows and the bulls. It is the natural occupation within human society. It is actually the way the world should be. It is the ideal form of social development which can bring about real peace. And to the degree human society deviates from this principle, to that same degree there will be so many anxieties and sufferings within our lives. When Krishna came to this world, he wanted to demonstrate the pastimes of the spiritual world, which is the natural way everyone should live. The cow is the mother. She is giving us milk when we are little children. And the bull is the father in the sense that he is working so hard to till the land so there will be food grains. And actually, economic development is so you can eat. That's all. What else do you need? You have a place to stay. You have some simple clothes, and you eat. What else really do we need in life if we understand the purpose of life? Is the purpose of life to accumulate more and more and more just so that we will be endlessly attached, and that attachment will cause us so much agitation and aggrievement, and it will cause so much competition amongst others, so much hatred and envy, and ultimately it all falls to pieces and we fall to pieces and everything is lost? Is that the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to develop higher virtues of love of God. That's all. There's no other purpose and there's no other satisfaction than to develop love for God. And in this world, to live peacefully and utilize one's energy for the purpose of awakening one's love of God, that alone is human civilization. So why should we complicate our life with so many other creations of our own mental condition, which are all based on our uncontrolled and unsatisfied desires for more and more and more? Janasya moho yamaham mameti. Why do we suffer? Because we are thinking, I am this body, and those things in relationship to this body are mine. That is the root of all suffering. As long as you think anything is yours, you suffer. Because it is an illusion. Everything is the property of God. So the Vedic literatures give us the formula which is called simple living and high thinking. Keep your life simple and put your attention on the process of self-realization. chanting God's name, worshiping the beautiful form of the Lord, serving the Lord, hearing the pastimes of the Lord, serving the devotees of the Lord. It's a beautiful, wonderful lifestyle. It's human life. And what do we need in order to do that? Economically, all we require is some food and some simple place to sleep and some simple clothes to wear. What else do we need? Can anyone say? What else do we actually need? To somehow or other keep this body and soul together, you eat. You have some clothes to keep warm, to cover yourself, and you have a place to sleep. And what kind of place to sleep do you need? People sleeping in a straw mat sleep just as good as people sleeping in big, big, beautiful beds. Probably better. But whatever you need, but keep it simple. If having more can be utilized in the service of the Lord, we can use it. But in the natural situation, we don't need more. And therefore, Krishna has given us this wonderful, wonderful lifestyle. If you just have a little land and some cows, you could live peacefully forever within this world. Forever means as long until you die. That's as long as we can go forever within this world. But actually, beyond that, you could live peacefully forever on the level of the soul if you accept this Krishna-conscious lifestyle. And it is the arrangement given by God. And who knows better? Krishna alone created the entire cosmic manifestation. Krishna created all species of life. Who knows better how to live within the creation than the Creator? We may have our opinions, and she may have her opinion, and he may have his opinion, but the Creator has his opinion. Here is the world. Here is how to live peacefully in the world. Get some land. Have some cows, have some bulls, and chant Hare Krishna, and associate with devotees. That is all. Nothing else required. The bulls will till the fields and give us grains. The cows will give us milk, and the surplus of the milk and the grains, we can trade it, and some trees are growing. So with the trees, you build a little house. If you get sick, you grow some herbs. Is there anything else required? Your body is healthy and you chant and you dance for the rest of your life. Hare Krishna. That is human civilization. But all of these artificial inanities have become necessities of life. How far we have come from the standard of simple living. Now we have to have so many different kinds of clothes and so many different kinds of shoes and so many different oils for our hairs, and we have to have so many different devices within our house to survive. How can we survive unless we have a television and a stereo and a telephone? And how can we survive unless we have so many nice cooking devices, and we have to have an automobile, and we have to have a driver? And so it just goes on and on and on. And we start thinking that these are the necessities of life. Cannot survive without it.
Kolavecha Sridhar. He just had a little thatched hut. Some squash would grow on his roof, coming out from the grass. And all big, big rich people, they would condemn him. Why don't you make some money? Why don't you do something useful in your life? He didn't care. Whatever money he made, he gave half to the worship of Ganges. And half he would just use to keep, to somehow or other maintain. And when Lord Chaitanya asked him, why don't you do something? What do I need? He said, my clothes may have some holes, but they're covering my body. My roof may have some leaks, but basically it's keeping me fit. My body may be a little skinny, but I'm eating enough to live. And he was chanting all night long. He had enough strength to chant the whole night all long. What else did he need? He was simply blissful in Krishna consciousness. Didn't need anything. So this life of simple living, high thinking, is a life that brings real happiness and spiritual prosperity. So you may ask the question, what are we doing in a city like Bombay? You can't have cows here. You can't grow food here. Most people are just stacked up. Their housing is not even housing. They're just stacked up, 6, 7, 8 floors. We need electricity. We need so many things. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explained, if there is a thorn in your foot, then you can use another thorn to take the first thorn out. So actually a devotee doesn't use technology and modern devices because he needs them. He uses them simply because this is the lamentable situation of society, and to help get people out of it, you have to use the same things. Now there's big, big printing presses. Previously, the six Goswamis, they would just write down their books. And if you wanted a book, you had to find someone to write it down for you. Can you imagine? If you wanted the set of Srimad Bhagavatams, you would have to find a scribe to write it all down for you. You'd have to place it in order, and maybe a year or two later, it would be available. But the fact is, people were more Krishna conscious in those days. They were reading more in those days. They were anxious to hear katha in those days. Now there's big, big presses, and every day people are reading newspapers and magazines and various types of books and literatures and periodicals. So Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they decided, if this is what they're doing, then use the press to print Krishna conscious literature. Take a thorn to take the other thorn out. Similarly, we can use stereos and sound systems and everything just to give people Krishna consciousness. But it's not the ideal. Ideal, we don't need any of these things. We'll use them because we understand the society is in a diseased condition, as an emergency. But if we become attached to these things, then we are in Maya. We are in great illusion. We'll use them as a necessity because of the diseased condition in society. But if we become attached to it, we become part of the disease. So we should not be attached. We should just be attached to Krishna. Keep body and soul together and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said, what do you need? You have a little prasad, you have a little place to sleep, you have the holy name, you have the scriptures, you have the association of devotees, and you have a little service. If you are satisfied with these things, you will be happy. If you need anything outside of these things, to the degree you become simply complicated and miserable. And that's all. These brahmacharis, they're quite blissful. We see in the morning, they're dancing jubilantly, like peacocks. They're jumping up and down and flying around the temple room so nicely, smiling, embracing. What do they have? They're allowed to have possessions as much as fit in a box, about 3 feet by 3 feet. No private room. They sleep on the floor jointly. About 35 to 40 brahmacharis, 35 children, all just sleeping on the floor. And they just eat what they're given. A simple prasad. What else do they have? But they're dancing and smiling and so happy. Because they have Krishna. They have a little prasad, they have the association of devotees, they have the holy name, they have Harikatan, they have a little service. They're happy. What else do they need? The more you think you need, the more your life becomes complicated and miserable. Everything becomes mental. We start depending on these artificial conditions of life. But if you live simple, you depend on Krishna. No other distractions. Now, grihasthas may think that brahmacharis can live like that, but somehow or other, I cannot live without my wife. I cannot live without something more. But actually, to the degree you can live simple, to that degree you'll be happy. If somehow or other you're a king and you have to live in a big palace, don't be attached to it. Just have a simple little place. Our devotee Krishna Chandra Prabhu and his family, somehow or other, for their service, they have big, big house. It's their family's house. But if you go, they all big, big, nice house. But if you go in their bedroom, the whole family just sleeps on the floor. They won't even use the beds. Actually, they're just very, very simple. All these things may be there, and it may be necessary in their service to Krishna for it to be there. But they're not attached. They live simple. And one day he told me, if the stock market drops, I always know there's a place in the floor in the temple room for me. He said, so what do I have to fear? In fact, he said, maybe it will be better like that. But as long as I can help the devotees by keeping this type of lifestyle, I will do it. But we should be simple. We should not be attached to things. We should be attached to Krishna. People are in so much anxiety about losing something, losing money. How many people have felt distress because they have lost money? Please raise your hand if you have ever experienced this. You are just raising your hands to show us what we should do. So much distress. But what is money? Who cares? You use it for Krishna. Are you going to starve if you don't have that money? Will Krishna not provide? Anybody who's a devotee, they can just come to the temple and eat prasad. You don't need money. You just come and eat some prasad with us. You'll make it. So you may have to make some money just to look responsible so you can be respected in society. And then with that respect you can preach Krishna consciousness. But you're not attached to it. Whether you have it or lose it really doesn't make any difference. As long as you have a little rice and dal, you have some association of devotees, and you have the holy name, you have everything in life that's required. So we should not be caught up by the propaganda of materialistic society. The propaganda that has overcome all of us is that we have been brainwashed. People talk about brainwashing, but everyone in this society is brainwashed. Do you know what brainwashed is? One time they told Prabhupada that the people are accusing that we are brainwashing people. So Prabhupada just took the word not by what it means, but what the words mean. He said, "Oh, that's very good." He said, "That is the purpose of our movement, to wash people's brains." He said, "If your brain is full of stool, why do you mind if we come to wash it?" So, but the way the common people understand this is you are led to believe something that isn't real. And everyone in this society has been indoctrinated to think that they need so many things. And who is it? People want to exploit you. People want to take your money. So they create the illusion of a necessity when there's no necessity. Advertisements are very, very expert at this. It used to be that advertisers, they were just good artists. But now it's become Kali Yuga's progressing. To be a good advertiser, you have to be a psychiatrist and a psychologist and a parapsychiatrist and everything. You have to understand how to manipulate people's minds to make them think they need something, to make every child think, "I need this toy. If I do not have this Barbie doll, I will die. I will not survive. It will be impossible to cope with the pressures of life. I must have it. Everyone else has it." And then they cry and they weep and their parents say, "All right, take it. But now I need a new dress for her. And now I need a new hat for her. And now I need to make a house for her." Like this. Children. I remember once seeing a devotee child. She had some seeds from fruits and she was playing with it. She ate some fruit, she spit it out, she washed it, and she was playing. She was happy. Just stacking them up, and her friends came and they started making different designs and pictures with these little seeds from apples. They were perfectly happy. They were talking about Krishna. They were drawing pictures of cows and gopis with apple seeds. And then you have all of these computerized games. I need a computer and I need children these days. 6-7-year-old children. I have to have a computer to play games. You're not satisfied. Be more satisfied with 12 apple seeds. But somehow or other, our society has indoctrinated people with the illusion, you have to have this. You must have a computer to survive in this world today. You must have so much nice clothes and so much nice jewelry, and you have to have your hair decorated in so many nice ways, and you have to have so many comforts in your house. These are considered necessities. This is the illusion. Because people want to take your money. They want to cheat you. They want to control you. They are convincing you you need so many things. But if we understand the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand all we need is Krishna. All we need is a little prasad and a little service. Nothing else. The more you simplify your life in this way, the more you'll make spiritual advancement and the more you'll be happy. It's very easy. We'll use whatever we can use, but if it's taken away, we don't mind. No attachments. If you're attached to one object of this world, you have to take another birth. And yet our whole life is to accumulate more attachments. Human life is meant for tapasya. That means to become more and more detached and more attached to Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So the residents of Vrindavan, they had Krishna. And each day Krishna would go out with the cowherd boys and the cows and the bulls. And they would play in the pastures of Vrindavan. And Prabhupada explains here that when Krishna would play his flute, how it would give ecstatic pleasure to all the residents of Vrindavan. There is a story, there is a place in Kamyavan, one of the forests of Braj. And Krishna was one day playing with his cowherd boyfriends, with his cows and with his bulls, through the pasture grounds they were roaming. And Krishna stood on a mountain because it was getting toward the end of the day and the cows had wandered in so many different directions and it was time to call them all back. So Krishna began to play his flute. He played with such a loving desire to attract the hearts of all of his devotees. He played such a sweet, beautiful melody that everything and everyone in Braja became completely intoxicated with love of God, love for Krishna. Cows and the bulls, with tears in their eyes, all began running and dancing to the hill where Krishna was playing his flute. And all of the children, with tears in their eyes, their hearts swelling with ecstasy, they were all just dancing and dancing as they were coming to Krishna. And the trees, they were crying in ecstasy in the form that sap was coming out of them. And their leaves were standing on end in ecstatic love. And the peacocks began to jump and dance and spin around in great happiness. The birds were flying in the sky in ecstatic love. Everything and everyone and all the mountains began to melt. And the mountain that Krishna was standing on began to melt in ecstasy, hearing the beautiful sound of Krishna's flute. And as the mountain melted, Krishna's feet sunk into the top of the mountain. And to this very day, Krishna's footprints are there. And there is another area where this mountain was melting so much that the cowherd boys and the cows and the bulls, all their footprints are on this big piece of rock. And you can even see the sticks and the flutes of cowherd boys. In Vrindavan, everyone is simply attracted to Krishna. And Krishna is giving the greatest happiness to his devotees. And that is the goal of life, to attain that abode where we can simply be with Krishna and hear his flute. But if you are attached to anything of this world, you must stay here. Hare Krishna.